brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
All right. We have a great Results Matter show for you today. Today, we're going to discuss Georgia's new research and development tax credit. And we're going to talk about tax credits in general a little bit before we get started. Our guests today are Melissa Horn. She's the senior tax manager with Smith & Howard. Welcome, Melissa.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Doing good. And we got old friend Ed Brown, and he's a partner with Burr & Foreman. Welcome, Ed.
Lee, how are you today?
Doing well. So you guys both have a little bit of experience working with this research and development tax credit, right?
As exciting as that sounds, yes.
But before we dig too deep into this, I'd like to talk a little bit about just tax credits in general. What is exactly a tax credit? Is that a state-only thing? Is it a federal thing? How does that work?
Well, there are tax credits at the federal level and at the state level.
Uh-huh.
There's, you know, jobs credits for both. There's Georgia specifically has jobs credits, investment credits, retraining credits, research and development.
So this is the state, the government decides, hey, we want to give the businesses an incentive to spend more money in this area because we think this is going to be important for the state in general. Is that the thinking behind this?
That's the idea. And it's important to remember it's different from a deduction. The tax credit is a dollar for dollar. If they give you a tax credit, you get a dollar that you don't have to pay in taxes, as opposed to a deduction, which would decrease your income.
Right.
So you would only get 30 cents or 15 cents, whatever your tax rate is, would really be the tax benefit. So it's a very powerful tool.
So it really works. I know we've done shows in the past about the film and entertainment tax credit, and that's brought a ton of business and industry to Georgia specifically. And I guess that's the thinking behind the R&D tax credit. They're hoping to kind of spur that.
Well, I think that, you know, the R&D credits, you know, the recent change isn't a new credit. It's not calculated any differently. So the activities that have generated the credit have been around for a while. Companies actually qualify for this with the activities that they're currently doing in the state. I think they just made the rules a little more favorable now so that more people would be...
They would take advantage of it.
Exactly.
Now, how does a tax credit, like, bubble up, though? Is that something that industry says, hey, you know what, if you gave us this tax credit, we would be incented to do more? Or is this the government kind of saying, hey, we're going to give you this tax credit, so we want you to do more?
As with most tax policy, it bubbles up from some lobbyist who thinks it's a really good idea.
Is that typically how it happens?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And that happens at federal and state levels. Legislators tend to get their ideas from outside of the legislature, which is a good idea, whether it's a lobbyist or whether it's at a public meeting, a forum, whatever. Certainly these are business-driven, saying, you know, looking at the Chamber of Commerce, groups like that come in and say, look, we would like to develop, you know, greater technology R&D in Georgia. You know, what ways can we encourage people not only to come into the state, but to create businesses that are here, entrepreneurs? How do we encourage somebody to start a new business that may have a great idea but looks at it and goes, geez, you know, between the capital I have to raise, the taxes I have to pay, everything that goes on, I just simply can't afford it, or they don't think they can. This is try to incentivize those people. But in general, I wouldn't say that legislatures never have a good idea, but most of the best ideas come from other folks.
And then for this R&D thing specifically, is it for larger companies or is it for startups?
No, it's for both. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have the idea that, you know, research and development is only for companies with research labs and people with scientists with white coats. But really, it's for businesses of all sizes and not just the large corporations.
So is there any criteria at all for who qualifies?
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. You have to have Georgia piggybacks on the federal rules for the research and development credit. And there's a 4 criteria test that you have to meet. And there's a lot of criteria within each one of those tests. But a lot of activities qualify that you wouldn't generally expect, like just improving products, improving processes, developing software, improving formulas or techniques. So there's a lot of different industries that would qualify.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's because people talk about R&D and technology. I just threw technology in when I was talking about it. It's really a misnomer. It's certainly, yes. I mean, if you, you know, some great biomedical discovery or whatever is out there. But it also could be, you know, as Melissa was saying, it could be something as simple as somebody improving an assembly line technique. They come up with a better widget. They come up with a better way to package the products. It has nothing to do. Maybe they're packaging widgets or wrenches or whatever. But if it's research and development that improves the productivity and improves the way that that we get the items to market, then it's arguably eligible.
Now, how does the company show that to the government that they're worthy of the tax credit? That's where you come in, Melissa. You do your magic.
Sure. We perform our magic. But there's, you know, a lot of times, you know, businesses who do these types of activities, they actually want people, engineers, to come in and do an actual study and look at all their processes and see what can qualify. It helps maximize the qualified expenses that you have. So it's just, you know, usually getting engineers, getting into the details of each project that you're doing can help maximize those deductions.
Now, how does the lawyer play in this area? How are you helping your clients take advantage of this?
It's similar to the accountants. It's primarily, it's amazing how many people start businesses and they really have no idea that this credit or that credit is out there. I mean, they're just kind of going into it blindly. They've got a good idea. They talk to their friends. Their parents thought it was a good idea. They've thrown a few bucks together, and in a lot of cases, they start the business. A more mature business, like Melissa says, the larger ones that are out there, they have full-time staff that are paying pretty close attention to that.
Right.
But without that, I think a lot of these folks rely upon their accountants and their attorneys to point these out. And whether it's R&D, I had a client just the last couple of weeks ago. They're getting a new business, and they were completely unaware of both the R&D credit, and they were completely unaware of the angel tax credit, I think, that we've talked about before on this show. They were like, really? That's just great. And to be honest with you, I probably assumed, well, they probably know about this already. Well, most people don't.
Right.
And the litany of available tax credits, particularly at the state level, is really rather long.
So there's a lot of stuff available, but most, smaller mid-sized businesses maybe not aware of all of them.
Correct.
Right, and I think that a lot of that has to do with a lot of advisors maybe in the past have assumed that these credits were only for the largest of companies.
Right.
And so, but I think that, you know, as we've all gotten smarter, we've been able to really show our mid-sized, middle-market clients that these credits really apply to them as well.
Now, how would two firms like such as yours, two different firms but might have the same client, how would you guys work together? Is this something where the client has regular meetings with their accounting firm and their law firm, and you guys get together, and since each one of you individually knows what's going on in the business, you're able to kind of work together?
Yeah, I mean, with all of our clients, we try to work very closely with all of their counsel, whether it be their legal counsel, their financial counsel, their bankers, just to make sure that we, have a complete picture of what is going on. And so I think there is a lot of this discussion amongst all the professionals, and that's how these things come up.
Do you have regular meetings, Ed? Do you ever?
Oh, that depends on the client. Most, really, to be honest, don't want to pay the fees to get all their professionals in one room together. They start.
But would you feel comfortable calling Melissa?
Oh, absolutely. I know. Yeah.
So that stuff would happen.
What is very important for businesses, whether they're looking at this tax credit or whatever, is for their advisors to know each other.
Right. It seems like it's in their best interest.
Absolutely. Everybody has different skill sets. You know, the accounts, the CPAs have different skill sets from the lawyers, and we have different skill sets from the financial planners if you're doing succession type planning, whatever. And everybody approaches it from a slightly different perspective. You know, the accountants tend and the CPAs will come into it. They see it because they see the tax returns, they see the financial statements they're preparing, and they may notice things on there that go, wow, a lot of our other clients take advantage of this credit or they have this deduction. Why don't you? Maybe they didn't know about it. You know, the lawyers, on the other hand, we may see it from the transactional side. They may talk to us about, geez, we need to raise some money because we want to develop this idea we have. One of our people came up with a great idea on how to improve the assembly line, and we say, know, there may be a tax credit involved in that as well that they don't know about it, in which case we call Melissa and say, Melissa, do your magic and figure out exactly how much money
make sure we get
to
this credit.
But, yeah.
Now, when you're applying, do you apply for the credit? Is that how it works? Or like, or do you take the credit? How does the actually
Yeah,
the
you
transaction
have to. You actually just have to fill out a form and attach it to your return. And that shows the computation for the credit. And then, as always, you know, once they get the return that showing the credit, they can audit that and ask for more information. You don't attach all your details.
But so there's some sort of a credit calculator?
Yeah, it's just a form. There's a formula that it's a 10% credit of your qualified expenditures over a base amount, and that's how much credit you would get for any particular year.
Does it go backwards in time? Like if you missed it? Like if you spent the money 3 years ago, can you
As long
go
as
back?
The statute of limitations is open on your tax returns, you can go back and amend the returns and apply for the credit.
Oh, so that's a good thing, right? Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about some of the activities that qualify. Do you know, like you mentioned, some of them. Can you mention some more?
Sure. There's just...
Because R&D sounds pretty broad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just anything. It really is very broad. It can be very broad. It's just improving, like Ed said, any design or developing a new technique or a process.
So is that, but who determines that? Like, so I, as the company, would determine that, or I would take a shot, and then if I get audited, then I have to prove it? Is that how it works?
You can always ask for forgiveness rather than permission. Yes, absolutely.
It's whatever your risk tolerance is?
Well, there's a little bit of risk tolerance. When you get into it, the calculation of the credit itself and some of the standards, for better or for worse, are probably make our hair hurt if we get into them too deeply. But they, you know, she said the federal government actually has an R&D credit. And there's, as the federal government's prone to do, there's a fair amount of regulations and,
right,
and statutory authority on what is. But primarily, you know, you look at it and you go, look, you're not just trying to be a little bit more efficient, okay? It's not something that just, you know, you've been able to make the conveyor belt go slightly faster than it used to. It is something that actually is a technological innovation.
So it's innovation is more important,
right,
than kind of an incremental change.
Yep.
Correct. The technological aspect, the process of experimentation is very important, the elimination of uncertainty. So they have to be working to in development of the improvement to eliminate uncertainty as to the process. And then, you know, so there's four, like I said before, there's four criteria, and you have to get really into the details of each one of those criteria to determine if your process qualifies or if your activity qualifies.
Now, this is where it's important to ask, call Melissa or call somebody like me.
Right. You can't
say,
just
say, hey, I've got an idea, but first you got to know it's out there.
Right.
If you don't know it's out there, you're never going to call Melissa and say, gee, I have this idea. Do you think it might qualify for the R&D tax credit?
Now, what percentage of companies do you think are taking advantage of it that could be that aren't? Is it the
That's
vast majority,
question.
Or is it just a handful?
I think it's
handful?
A very, well, there's a very low number of companies that I think that take the credit. Although the federal government, you know, gives out, I think I read $5 billion annually in federal credits. I think Georgia's percentage is probably very small compared to that. And but that leads us into sort of why the law change is so important, because of other incentives that Georgia has, and specifically in the way that they tax company income,
right,
in the state. A lot of companies, even very profitable companies, can have very low taxable income in Georgia specifically. So the credit, being that it's calculated or it's allowed up to 50% of your tax liability after other credits, can be a very low amount allowed,
right?
And when you have to only apply it to your taxable
amount.
Income,
so then they say, "Why bother?" Or they don't pursue,
right?
It?
And that's why this law change that happened in May is now allowing all businesses, not just businesses who have been in business for 5 years or less, which is what the previous rule was, to take any credit that's not allowed against their taxable income in the state, to take that against their withholding payroll liabilities,
which is a bigger number. So
exactly.
Well, it's a more consistent number. It doesn't.
Right.
You don't have to have income or profit in order to have to pay some of those payroll
Right, so it's helping out in that area.
Exactly.
And then also the fact that now it applies to older companies as well.
Exactly.
So now it's a bigger group of companies that are affected.
Right. Arguably, if you had a mature company that maybe had gone into hard times, would not have been eligible for the payroll part of it, they might not, the credit would have really done them no good. They had gone into hard times, they didn't have any taxable income, didn't have any income, so, you know, why do it? Now you're going to hopefully allow some of these companies that want to reinvent themselves and that have some good ideas to be able to take advantage of the credit, freeze up capital, freeze up their ability to spend money on more employees. That's clearly a big purpose of this.
Sure.
If it's cheaper to have employees, there's a better chance I'll hire an extra employee.
Exactly.
And that's good for all of us.
Right.
So, you know, it for those, some of those mature companies that were kind of left behind in it, it's a real benefit.
Now, is this R&D tax credit, you said that there's 2012 is when it was changed?
Correct. It changed in May of 2012. So
it's pretty new. It's only a few months old.
It is a new change, but it's a very, like I said, it's a very positive change because, again, you know, companies that are very profitable in the state, manufacturers, for example, they could do billions of dollars of sales worldwide. And because manufacturers generally are shipping products everywhere, the way Georgia, an incentive for having your business here in Georgia is the way that they calculate that allocation of income. So what's actually taxable in Georgia? And so that same company could have, let's say they had $1 million of taxable income for federal purposes. If only 5% of their customers are in Georgia and they ship, you know, their products all over the world, only 5% generally would be taxable of that $1 million will be taxable in the state. So that's $50,000 of taxable income, $3,000 of tax, $1,500 maximum credit. So, you know, we go from having $1 million of taxable income to only a $1,500 potential credit in the state. And those businesses, very profitable, are probably looking at the research and development credit for federal purposes because they do get a federal credit. Because Georgia piggybacks on the research and development computation or qualified expenditures from the federal calculation, they probably qualify for Georgia credits as well and probably have Georgia credits that are just sitting out there that they can't use.
Right.
And so going forward, this will be a benefit to those companies as well.
So you can take advantage of the federal credits and the state credits?
Absolutely. Yes.
So that it doesn't, like, you don't use them up in the federal and then you can't use them for the state?
Nope. You can calculate both.
Because I think in the electric car, like, there's a federal tax credit for an electric car and also a state tax.
Right. Depending on all the credits work slightly differently
as
to how they're treated, because some cases there's a state credit, not a federal credit, or a state credit and a federal deduction, so that each one of them treated somewhat differently.
Now, is this something like once this the tax law changed, is this something that you reach out to your clients and both of you reach out to your individual clients and say, hey, this is something we should really look at because this could affect you specifically?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Proactive. Is that an advisor? Would you be proactive in this, right, to share this information?
For sure. You'd want to be proactive with all your clients. And, you know, every year just making sure that you have general discussions about what they're doing and understand their business. And that's what we all strive to do, is to understand what a client's doing day in, day out, because it's not just the research and development credit that they may be able to take advantage of.
There's other things.
Exactly.
Now, has any of your clients proactively come to you and say, hey, this new R&D thing passed, hook me up?
Not a one.
Zero?
I haven't had any.
No, really?
That's the concern, as I think with most of these. I mean, to be honest, this doesn't hit the front page of even the Journal Constitution, much less any broader paper. You know, talking about tax credits isn't the sexiest thing that somebody wants to cover. So, at the end of the day, it's hard for these folks to find out. If the professionals don't go out and proactively talk about it, these things will fall flat on their face. We will see that sometimes in these tax credit specific government programs, that they create a great program and nobody ever applies for it. Nobody knows about it. So, yes, it's incumbent upon the professionals, those of us in the industry that presumably know about this stuff and are paying attention to this type of stuff, to get out to the folks and tell them it's there. I mean, we've got to be that source.
Yeah, I mean, as service providers, I mean, this is how we add value to our clients. And
right.
this is, you know, why they pay us, really.
But these are happy phone calls to make.
Oh, yeah,
right?
For sure.
There's plenty of ones that aren't happy phone calls. This one's a good one, right?
Yeah, this is a good one.
So now when you're working with them, how would you go about kind of implementing this for somebody? If you thought that there was potentially an opportunity for them to take advantage of the credit, how would that take place now? You'd call them up, and then what conversation would you have with them?
You really have to assuming we haven't been looking at the research and development credit for them already, because the criteria is the same generally, you know. For Georgia companies, you're looking at this from a federal standpoint already, if they're, you know, eligible to take it. But, I mean, you have to just have a conversation with the client as to, you know, go out and visit their, you know, their business and have them walk you through. And clients like to talk about their business and like
right.
to talk about what they're doing and just ask a lot of questions. And you know, you take good notes, and you have to go back and really get into the specific rules as to what qualifies, because it is pretty stringent. There's a lot of activities that qualify or could qualify, but there are pretty stringent criteria that you have to meet. And so it just is important to get in front of your clients and get into the details, talk to some of their plant managers, talk to, you know, specific key people as to what specific activities they're doing.
Ed, how would you go about kind of implementing this for them?
Tell them to call Melissa.
That's it?
Yeah. No. And at the end of the day, it is, because it becomes a reporting issue as mm-hmm. to how you're going to file a return and whether it's there. You know, generally from the lawyer's perspective, it's less likely that we find out about it unless we go out and proactively
do
something.
But it's something that if your clients in manufacturing or in technology, that's are kind of the low-hanging
exactly.
fruit. But maybe there are some ones that are being innovative that aren't in those kind of more popular areas.
It's also the smaller ones. The larger yeah. ones, you know, as I said, they tend
probably,
to have pretty good advisors internally and externally
right.
already. They probably already use the federal research and development tax credit. It's really the ones that you're trying to go after that don't know about it, or the startups, the early stage, that are getting into it. And to be honest, they don't know much more about the federal one than they do about the state one.
Right.
And those are the folks that are underserved. And to be honest, I think those are the folks that primarily we're trying to benefit.
Right.
And I think that the state is trying to encourage. You know, that's where you have opportunity for growth and development of new industry within the state. So it's getting out to them and making them aware of these things. As I said, I had the conversation a couple of weeks ago, and with clients, very bright folks, have run several businesses, no idea whatsoever about this.
And then so you would kind of recommend they talk to their CPA or their accounting firm?
Right. Once you get in, we'll go through, and I can walk them through some of the regulations, the federal stuff, as to make sure that it seems to be a, you know, a form of technology that might be applicable. And then you do. Usually you call the accountants and get their input. They tend to deal with this. They're the ones that will generally file the compliance forms for
uh-huh.
it. And very often, to be honest, again, it's one of those, the accountants, the CPAs tend to have a more day-to-day feel for this than often the attorneys do. And a lot of times what I will tell my folks is our job is to try to spec it and try to see it, make sure it's out there. And when it is, then you get the right folks involved. It may be the attorney. In many cases, it's going to be the CPA that really is going to be the one that knows the effects, because they know their tax situation. They know whether
right.
this really is going to benefit them and how much.
Right. Now, Melissa, is there any what's like kind of the largest tax credit you've seen in this area so far? Any big number?
I mean, the clients that I've seen, I mean, it's nothing to have a, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 in 1 year of a credit. But you get into the larger publicly held, you know, companies, and they're going to see millions of dollars of credits each. And so, I mean, it can be huge.
So it can be huge. So it's definitely worth everybody's time to kind of explore this and make sure that you're getting it if you're eligible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the important thing is to just make sure you talk to, you know, your CPA and really it's their job to be on top of this kind of stuff as well. But I think that sometimes you hear things through, you know, shows like this, and it just opens the door for communication.
Right. Now, we talked about manufacturing. Is there and technology? Are there any other kind of oddball-y industries that maybe want to take a look at this?
Pretty much, you know, any industry. I mean, distributors, wholesalers.
So there's opportunity for a distributor. There's opportunity for a wholesaler.
Telecommunications.
Right. So people that might not necessarily think that they could access an R&D credit, they are out there if they're creative enough and have been innovative.
Yeah. I mean, basically what it comes down to is if you've simply invested time and money and resources into advancing or improving your processes or your products,
right. So that's
you might
criteria.
Qualify. So.
Okay. I had one last week that's a group, physician group. And physicians are, you know, they think of themselves medical devices, but they actually, this is a group that owns different physician groups around the South. And they developed, they had one of the folks in their office developing an app for billing. A good thing for doctors to be able to do, but actually in a surgical suite to be able to do, you know, some form of billing on an iPad in the suite to be much more efficient. And one of my questions to him was, you know, you may have an R&D tax credit for some of this. Like, oh, really?
Right.
They hadn't thought about it. They were just, you know, they're just doing their business, and they're coming up with some way that they think improves their productivity.
Right, they'll make them more efficient and help
That's
them.
Right. To be honest, most of these aren't driven by the credits. The credits tend to be that cherry that's, on top of it that goes,
exactly.
Wow, this all of a sudden makes a big difference to me.
Yeah, I mean, most likely if you're doing something just to try to get a credit, this credit in particular, you're probably not going
to
qualify.
That's probably not good. but that I think is the danger in not taking advantage of it. You're not even you're just taking it for granted that this innovation that you're doing is just your normal business, and that you need like advisors like you guys to point out that, hey, you know what, that might qualify, and this can save you some money down the road.
Right. And I think, you know, technology, software development companies, I think that maybe that's more intuitive that qualifies. But a lot of other companies in different industries develop software within their business for their, maybe for their processes or for utilization in their business. And that qualifies or can qualify as well. So, and that, you know, really blows people's minds sometimes, is that the software development, well, it's not a product. It's not my, it's not what I sell. And that can qualify.
Right. All right. Well, as part of the show every week, we like to ask a piece of advice of our guests. Can you share some piece of advice, Ed, that would help a person in this area?
Be open in your mind when you're starting a business. Understanding that there are a variety of programs, a variety of tax benefits that either the state or federal government, or in some cases local government, implement. Be open to those and try to keep your eyes open. Call your accountant, call your CPA, call your attorney, and be on the lookout for them, because they're there and they will help you grow your business.
Melissa, please. Yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, the inception of a business, the beginning of a business, is a very important time. And if, you know, it's important to have good counsel throughout your business life cycle, but in the beginning, especially, to try to take advantage, to get some people on your side, to get some people who are knowledgeable in these types of areas who can help you take advantage of these credits. These incentives are there. And, you know, just to maximize your dollars spent in starting your new business would probably be the best advice I can give.
Yeah, that's great advice. Now, Melissa, if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation to you about this, is there a website or a way to reach you?
Sure. My email is mhorne@smith-howard.com, and the website is www.smith-howard.com.
All right. Now, Ed?
For me, just go to burr.com, B-U-R-R.com. I'm on there, and there's actually, if you go to some of the links on there, there is a client alert on there about the R&D tax credit that people can pull down and take a look at, and hopefully we'll answer a few of their questions.
Good stuff. Well, thank you both for being here and talking about Georgia's new research and development tax credit. Really appreciate it. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next week at Results Matter Radio.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.